Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. I got to interview Hillary Lauren-Jastrom in this week's episode, and it was a lot of fun. She's the host of Sick Biz, and as someone who's dealt with a lot of health things in my life, especially recently, it was really interesting for me to be able to talk with her and pick her brain on what her podcast is about and why she's doing it. She is the owner of J. Hill Marketing. She specializes in copywriting and book editing for entrepreneurs and brands. This is another reason why I was excited to talk with her, because I studied writing and creative writing for a while, and I love the whole world of books and being an author. Hillary is an author and contributor to multiple media. Jastrom founded Sick Biz, a nonprofit supporting sick and disabled entrepreneurs, and hosts the podcast Sick Biz Buzz. So we had a lot of fun, and I hope we enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Thank you.
Okay, Hillary, thank you so much for being willing to come on the show today.
Oh my gosh, well, thank you for having me. It's very awesome.
So I like to start off in the same place with all of my guests, and that is, what was your biggest fear of podcasting when you first started? And did that fear actually come true?
Oh boy, that is a great question. I think my biggest fear was that I would sound like a dork. It did come true a little bit. If you go back and listen to the first episode of my podcast, Sick Biz Buzz, it's very disjointed. So there's a rhythm that you get into, and you know this with interviewing guests, and there's a banter that you try to create. My producer had told me, you know, just let the silence sit there for a minute. Give it an extra beat to see if somebody wants to say anything else. Well, I think I took that wrong and was like, let's give it two or three extra beats. Have it be totally awkward. So, but it doesn't matter if it came true. You know what I mean? Like it happened. I lived through it. The fear was gone. I could go on and only get better.
So how many episodes are you up to now?
I'm up to like 102.
Wow. Okay. So a big difference from episode one.
Oh my gosh, there's such a huge difference. And I really, you know, when I have people on the show, somebody told me two things. This may work for you, might not work for you. They said, invite your guests on as a co-host. So they're hosting with you. For me, that did not work. And the reason is because we kind of have a Q&A going. I have questions that are prepared, and so it didn't really work. But I think strive for the vibe of, for the guests, this is your show too. Right. You're in control too. You can interrupt me. You know, you can, I want to go, I don't want it to be like The View. I can't watch The View because it makes me just want to scream. Everybody's yelling and whatever. But keep that energy up, you know. So, and that's what I try to do with my guests.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And that's worked out pretty well so far, it sounds like. And that's something, I'm happy to hear you're so far along in the podcast, and you've had so many different, like the quality and how you feel about it has increased, because a lot of people don't want to start a podcast unless they think it's absolutely perfect. But episode one is always going to be kind of awkward.
It's fun to go back and listen to it to a degree, because then you can go back and listen to the first episode and then listen to your most current one. Mm-hmm. And you can see, you can hear how you've changed and how you've improved. And so that's a really fun thing to do. You don't have any idea how you're going to improve. Even your voice changes, because as you speak more confidently, you know, it takes on the tone of almost like you're doing a presentation. Mm-hmm. It's still casual, but it's professional. And you don't even have a clue how you're going to sound episode one compared to episode 100. So keep going, you know?
Yeah, exactly. When, how long do you do one episode a week?
I try to do one episode a week. Sometimes I get two in the bag. So we like to try to stay ahead by about 2 weeks. And sometimes that's hard because I'm sick. I have two chronic illnesses, as you're aware of. But, you know, and at points we've done reruns, and I don't recommend that. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend it at all because your numbers take a big hit because you're grooming your audience to anticipate old content. So we try to stay ahead by 2 weeks. Sometimes we're only ahead by one, but yeah, one episode a week generally.
Yeah, okay. I ask because some people don't, people get to the episode 100 at different times. When did you first start podcasting?
It was November of 2017.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's coming up on 2 years. It's nuts.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So let's transition a little bit into how your podcast relates to business, if it relates to business. So, well, does it relate to business?
100%. It does.
And how?
Well, it's a specialized niche. So okay. My general audience, or the largest chunk of my audience, are chronically ill and disabled entrepreneurs. However, there's a lot of overlapping content within that scope. So we're all about doing things as efficiently as possible, following our best practices, listening to ourselves, self-care, all of these things, which, as you can hear, is an overlap into any entrepreneur's life.
Right.
I like to give away little business hacks that I possibly can. One of my favorite podcasts includes like how to make money right now today. Mm-hmm. Because when you're sick and you have bills to pay and you can't go to like a job working for the man, you know, you need to get money in the door. So yes, it's very business oriented, a lot of mindset stuff, a lot of, overcoming limitations, self-doubt, and things of that nature. But I've also had on guests that cover finances. They cover mental health aspects. I've had guests come on that are business coaches, and they break down exactly what you need to do in terms of if you want to have like a $50,000 a year income, then you can reverse engineer it right down to hourly. How much do you need to be closing? So it's a little bit more edible, I guess, you know, in smaller chunks. So I really try to shoot the gamut, but specialize in if you're having a hard time with your business, this is how you can restructure it. You can restructure your business model, your time, all of these things. And so there is a bit of an overlap, but it's generally for that main chunk. And that was born out of my nonprofit, Sick Biz, which supports chronically ill and disabled entrepreneurs.
Okay. And so does your podcast, is it part of like a marketing funnel, if you will? Is it part of a marketing funnel like that, or is it just to share value?
It's not part of a marketing funnel yet, although I'm like circling the drain on that one. I'm not sure how that would work, quite honestly. Right now, it's just for value and brand awareness. My other business sponsors it, so I give my other business some visibility as well. And I guess there's a little funnel that way, but really it's been about, I was in the position of that entrepreneur who's listening. I know how frustrating it is. I know that there is a shortage of not resources, but good resources. So everybody's out there trying to pick through things and figure out, is this a good thing for me to do? Should I invest my money here? Is it going to pay back, you know, my investment plus? And I want to just whittle that down for people so they can say, this is a resource. I can go here and I can get help.
Right. Okay. And so you said, you mentioned, you said, you know, get a return on an investment. So I'm curious, what do you invest in the podcast? Meaning, do you outsource any of the work, or do you do it all yourself?
I outsource the work every month to a producer, because I tried to do it myself and it sounded like I was sitting in a garage with a tin can. So, and I really wanted a professional appearance. I wanted a professional sound. I wanted to be able to screw up and have somebody come in and say, "Okay, well, that's okay. You screwed up. I fixed it. I spliced it, whatever." Can you do those things yourself? Absolutely. For me, it came down to time management. So it's a much better investment for me to outsource that and have them. All I do is I get on, I've got my script written. A lot of times I write the script using Google Chrome and I speak it. So it doesn't take me very long. And I'm able to just jump on the air and just all the way from the intro all the way through the outro. I just record it and then Robert does his magic. And then he feeds it out. So he also does the distribution of it, which is really nice. And I don't have to worry about it. Like, I had a double subscription somewhere and Robert dove into it and was like, "It's this one, so cancel this other one." And it's just really value added. And he serves as a voice coach at the same time too. So he'll be like, "All right, well, that was pretty good, but you know what, you need to just chill out on this or that." And so you improve, you get better. And it's not coming from yourself where you're saying, "Well, I think I should do this or that." It's somebody outside of you who is not biased and is, you know, paid to assist you and help you get better.
Right. Okay. And so you mentioned, you said you write out a script and you've also mentioned guests. So how do you structure, do you have guests on for every episode or do you do some as like a solo episode?
I do some solos. I need to do more of those. Those, I'm not entirely comfortable with those, but I'm pushing myself to do that. And, you know, and I told Robert that, I said, "You know, I'm not comfortable with this." And he said, "Well, that's why you need to do more of it."
Yeah.
So I thought, well, first of all, get out of my head. And like, second, it's really good advice. Do more of what you're afraid of every day, you know, whether it's podcasting or whatever. For the most part, you know, I try to have guests on and I try to vary the expertise and experience. I really want to make sure we have just a full-bodied offering of people coming from multiple industries, but still applicable. So I might have somebody come on and talk about, I've had physicians come on and talk about pain management, for example, different ways of mindset control. I had somebody come on and do meditation for EBS. So as an entrepreneur, you can get as sucked up into your schedule as you allow, right? But if you carve out maybe, I don't know, 7 minutes out of your day and do this meditation. So it was really interesting, but I really try to offer value with these different guests and make sure they're different. Robert's been on a couple times as well to talk about how to do podcasts, why you should do podcasts, and the fact that when you have a podcast, it's a content generating machine. So that's a huge benefit.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the, I have found having a podcast is one of the best ways to actually generate content, especially if there's a guest, because the guest kind of generates the content for you.
Yes. And you can do so much with it. You can splice and dice it. You can create memes out of it. You can do your blog posts. You can connect to an email. You know, it's just incredible. So even if you're not feeling the most confident about your podcast, just keep going. Just keep pushing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Mm-hmm. So how much time would you say having a producer saves you when it comes to podcast work?
Oh man, I think it probably saves me hours. I really do. And you know, and that's a very good topic of discussion, because you have to look at the way that your time is most efficiently spent. So for me, is it plunking around and doing a marginal job and getting some crappy edits out there? Or is it saying to somebody, "Hey, this is what you do. So I'm going to focus on what I do best and I'm going to go, you know, work in that capacity." where I'm comfortable and I can make more money and you're going to do your thing and it turns out better. I can't even tell you. I mean, when I first started, I was like, Robert, how do I do this? And he goes, well, you go to this link, and this, and then you do this. And I was like, nope. Absolutely not. I want it professional. I want the intro. I want the ramp in. I want the music. It's really like any media in your life that you're using in your business or personal brand. You have to invest in it or people are not going to take you seriously. I wanted this to be taken seriously, not seen as some kind of fly-by-night situation. And so this has been a great investment for me.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So do you think that investment is worth it when it comes to the cost? Because it, especially if you're not using the podcast as a marketing tool, and I'm not sure if you have any sponsors or affiliates that go through the podcast. First, do you have any sponsors or affiliates through the podcast?
So I'm lining up my second sponsor. So my other company is a sponsor, which gives it visibility. I'm lining up second sponsor. I've had sponsors in the past and it has created greater visibility. So the Good Men Project sponsored me for a while. They are a magazine that is focused on having a conversation in this 21st century. But their audience split is about 50-50, men and women. So this was fantastic because I believe I'm still an editor there. I haven't contributed in a while, but it merges some of these media together. And getting that sponsor, this is what was very confusing in the beginning, Evan. So I was like, all right, I need to get a sponsor. I got to get like dog food. Like I got to get like right out of the gate. I got to get going. I got to get Dell computers. I don't know. I just like, you're not going to get that when you don't have the listeners and you don't have the metrics. You're not going to get that right away. And so what you may get is a bartering. You may get, you know, you can advertise your podcast on this site in exchange for talking about, you know, our services or our articles or whatever the case is. So you might do a little bit of bartering as you're building up your numbers. For me, the visibility has been tremendous because I overlap my media. So, and it's a very interesting niche. So that's the other thing is it really makes sure you're differentiating yourself as a podcaster. So yes, you're talking about business, but what is your niche? What do they say? The riches are in the niches. So, so you really want to do that work, but you can grow in that capacity. You can start with bartering and then move up, you know, into actually receiving money for it. And then for me, the visibility has been tremendous. So being interviewed in various, you know, sites or magazines, for example, and that reaches a different audience that brings in work. It's a greater exposure, creates pipelines. So you may not be able to tie immediately to the metric that says having a sponsor gives me X or paying for this gives me X. It's interwoven. So paying for it makes my podcast more professional so I can be interviewed, so I can have a link so that more money or opportunities come in.
So as opposed to waiting for the sponsors and the money to come in for the podcast to get a producer, it's kind of the other way around.
It is the other way around. And you have to, I mean, I think this is true of anything. So when social media had been around for, I don't know, I'm going to go back like 5 years, everybody started using it for their businesses. Businesses started opening up and saying, I think we need to do this, but we need to figure out how not to overlap into personal and stuff like that. And they were worried people are going to be on Facebook all day. Then there came a time after that practice that businesses started saying, what is the direct connection between expanding my reach and my dollars that are going out the door? And the fact is that there are way too many variables. So as long as you're pouring into your business, you will be moving it forward. You will be increasing its visibility and that rewards you.
even if it's stressful at first to put that money in, especially when it comes to something like a podcast, when the podcast itself might not be making any money.
Yes.
So it feels wrong almost, or definitely feels stressful to then go back and invest in it when it seems like then the podcast all is doing is draining money.
Yes.
But, you know, in the long term, that's just not true.
Right. It's a long game. This isn't a situation where, you know, you're going to have 10 podcasts and go, well, nobody's listening, I'm going to pull the plug. It's about consistency. It's about content creation. It's about not being tied to the numbers. Initially, when we launched, I was like, oh my God, these are terrible numbers. And Robert said, don't look at the numbers. If you're reaching one person, if you're affecting one person, if you're helping to improve their life, then you're totally valid in what you're doing. But also it is, it's my guilty pleasure. I like doing it. I like meeting people. You know, and there are opportunities that come out of just interviewing guests. It's very flattering to approach somebody, flattering to them, to approach them and say, hey, I know about you. You're cool. I think you can benefit my guests. Like, I would love to have you on. When somebody receives an invitation, and my shows are about a half hour long, 20 minutes, half hour, I'm long-winded, and and they should be shorter, by the way. That's best practices. They should be shorter. So, but when somebody receives an invitation, you do create the law of reciprocity. You don't knowingly set out and say, I'm going to create the law of reciprocity. I'm going to invite this person on, and then they're going to want to work with me. But you create that they want to give back to you, whether that's in the form of sharing with their audience, or they have a project come, you know, that comes up that's a fit for you or whatever. And then there's just the networking. It's a huge, flattering way to network. It's so much better than cold emailing, you know. And you're connected with this person now. So it's been fantastic for networking. Holy moly.
Yeah, it's a good way to actually connect and have meaningful conversations, as opposed to if you just like, if I were to just reach out to you and said, hey, can we just like talk for half an hour and I can like pick your brain about stuff? It'd be kind of weird. But I essentially asked the same thing by asking, hey, do you want to be on my podcast?
Yeah.
But yeah. People are much more likely to say yes to that. And that's, like you said, that's flattering to ask someone. It's flattering to me. I mean, imagine being asked, hey, can you be on my podcast? I mean, that's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
And it's not weird, which is very big plus.
It takes the weird element out. It's not like LinkedIn, you know, where people are like, hey, I saw we have 250 mutual friends. I want to connect with you. What's going on? And I'm like, I don't know who the heck you are. Why are you talking to me? Like, I don't want to, I have lots of research to do about you, sir. Like, I'm not. So if you're awkward around that, and a lot of people are, because so many extroverts are at ease going to parties and mingling around. I'm an introverted extrovert. So when I get pulled into little groups or one-on-one, that's fantastic. But if I have to be on all the time and then I'm just exhausted and I just want to, like, I have to go away and recharge, or I want to hide. Like, this is literally why I hate getting my hair done, because I have to do small talk. So small talk to me is like, I would rather die by poisoning. So if you struggle in this way, it's a really nice vehicle, you know, and it's almost like the new way of marketing too. Get a podcast, start marketing, start building your people. You'll also be doing quality networking. So it's not just like, I'm going to shoot out this broad message. You are selecting the person with whom you're going to come into contact with and engage. So I mean, really, until we talked about this today, I didn't even think about that, but it's almost like a great way to network.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. I found that the same thing, especially if you have like a service-based business. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a service-based business and having a podcast is one of the best ways to network with people. Not by weight. I feel like when people think about that, they think about the listeners being who you network with and waiting for listeners to reach out. But for me, it's been much more about the guests that I invite on, because yes. I establish a relationship with them. And especially, like I said, if it's a service-based business where you're looking for clients, it's a good way to find potential clients. Not like that shouldn't be the main focus of the podcast. The main focus should be providing value. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And then otherwise, you're not going to want to do it anymore. But a great side effect is you meet these people and you have meaningful conversations. And then afterwards, you're like, that was amazing. That person is so nice. They're a perfect fit. And then just keep the conversation going.
Yep. It's so much easier to keep the conversation going when you have a basis. You have a shared experience together. So yeah, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. And you know what really works too, is if I have not done a good job scheduling and I'm trying to move this over to my VA so that I just, we have like this, you know, constant guest roster, but right now it's just me. I will post on Facebook, like, who wants to be on my podcast? You will be amazed at how many people are like, me, I want to be on, And then I'm like, I'm set for like 2 months after that. So, because it's special being on a show, when you say, do you want to be on my show? Be on a show? Yes, I want to be on a show. That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I found as well, I usually find my guests by reaching out on Facebook groups that are similar to what my topic is. Like, I talk about podcasting. So I go onto podcasting related Facebook groups and, you know, there you go. Or if it's like business coaching, I'm sure there are Facebook groups for that.
Yes, a ton. Too many.
Yeah. Coaching is like the new it thing, I suppose, for online businesses.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know how like this grew into a thing, but it really truly did.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Coaching is good, but there's lots of people out there. But yeah, no, I've been able to find guests by looking on there. And then there's a whole group is filled with potential guests. And usually, especially if they're not huge people, like hugely popular, successful people where you reach out and it's not even them. It's like an assistant or something. Yeah. If they're not at that level, then they're like 95% certainty going to say yes to being on the podcast. Because like you said, oh my God, what? You want me to be on your podcast? I must be really important.
Yeah. It's such a good feeling. When somebody reaches out to me, I'm like, oh wow, that is so cool. And it's validating that what you're doing matters. You should keep going. You should keep growing. You know, you should keep working in your business because people are hearing you. So you need that little bit of validation too. And then you get to the next accomplishment.
Exactly. Yeah. So as we start to wind down the podcast, I like to ask if, you know, for those listeners out there who are unsure about whether or not a podcast would be right for them or their business, what would you say to them?
Well, I think first of all, if you want to do it, there's a reason behind that you want to do it. And if you want to do it, find a way to make it happen. You know, I don't know if that's cutting out the latte in the morning, if you're spending $6 a day, you know, and you're doing that 5 days a week, you can probably afford some sort of editing help, right? You know, it's just make it easy for yourself to accomplish that goal and support yourself in that. But if you're thinking about it, you want to do it. You're going to keep coming back to it. This is what I tell people who come to me and they're like, I want to write a book. Oh, I guess not. I'm like, well, I'll see you later then. Because you're not going to get it out of your system. You're going to keep revisiting it. So go for it and focus on imperfect action. And also, it is those shows that are not perfect, where you are human, that create an even greater emotional connection. So, and then you're killing your fear at the same time. Like, am I going to suck? All right, you're going to suck the first one. You are. So get it out of the way and just do it. Then come back. Well, first of all, when you're done with it, you're so proud of yourself. I did it. You know, you do not regret taking chances or doing the thing, whatever it is. You always regret saying, I didn't make this choice because of fear. That is what haunts us. Fear haunts us. So do it.
Exactly. Imperfect action is always infinitely better than perfect action that's never taken.
Yes. And you will be taken more seriously by those that you want to engage with and work with when they see your imperfect action. Nobody is, you know, clamoring to work with somebody who is waiting until they sound perfect. And if that is your bar, perfection, you're not going to reach it. Mm-hmm. So take that, you know, that bar down, just take it down. Don't even lower it. We're not talking about lowering. We're talking about doing, and just do it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, incredible. So for those listeners who are really interested in what you do and what you have to say, where can they find out more about you?
So the best way to reach me is probably through sickbiz.com, sickbiz.com. You can get me there via email, whatever. You can also listen to my podcast and figure out if what I'm doing makes sense to you. There's lots of messages like we're talking about here as far as overcoming and really drilling down into how do we overcome. That's the biggest thing. We're very how oriented. So if that resonates with you, love to have you over on Sick Biz.
Perfect. Well, again, Hillary, thank you so much for coming on my podcast today. I appreciated it, and it was an incredible conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. It's totally awesome. You're doing such a good thing, helping people. So I'm really honored.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to ipodcastedit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in. And I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.